Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
Earlier this month, several members of the California Department of Food and Agriculture Office of Environmental Farming and Innovation traveled to Mexico City for meetings and informational exchanges on strategies to adopt a changing climate. Scientists Tani Mata, Kevin Mace, Carolyn Cook, and Michael Wolf each participated and helped show the many ways that OEFI and CDFA are helping farmers and ranchers adapt. The subjects included irrigation, drought, and CDFA sweep program, incentives for farmers and ranchers to embrace the agency's Healthy Soils Program, Sustainable Pest Management and Biodiversity, including California's Sustainable Pest Management Roadmap, the increasing importance of natural and working lands, a discussion that included greenhouse gas reductions guided by the California Air Resources Board Scoping Plan, and continuing development of technical assistance programs as a key resource. A Climate Smart Ag workshop brought together researchers, government representatives, and academia to focus on opportunities related to water use efficiency, healthy soils, and sustainable pest management. The CDFA team was joined by representatives from the University of California, Merced, and UC Davis. The workshop was a follow-up to a memorandum of agreement that CDFA signed with SEDAR, Mexico's agriculture agency, in 2019. CDFA continues international collaboration and engagement on climate smart agricultural policies and practices to strengthen connections between academia, government, and farmers on climate resilience. Partnerships such as the one with SEDAR strengthen research collaboration and ag tech innovations while furthering the adoption of on-farm practices to advance sustainability and soil health. Two veteran orchard crop researchers at the University of California, Davis have produced a handbook on peach cultivation and post-harvest considerations. Thomas Graziel is a UC Davis professor and plant breeder, and Carlos Cruzado is a UC Davis professor and cooperative extension farm advisor in consumer quality and post-harvest technology. They said their new guidebook, Peach, gives growers basic information that can reduce their production risks, boost profits, and help them face issues such as climate change and a shifting world market. A federal court has ordered Rancho Nuevo Harvesting to pay over $558,000 in back wages to 649 farm workers, in addition to just over $475,000 in penalties for violating H-2A agricultural worker program regulations in California, according to the Department of Labor. The Dole's Wage and Hour Division investigators found the Santa Maria farm contractor underpaid workers, gave them insufficient and spoiled food, and failed to give them safe places to live. The company made false statements under penalty of perjury during the H-2A program's certification process, according to the department. Stratovation Group is engineering a new study on how specialty crop growers perceive agricultural biologicals for vegetable, leafy greens, and fruit and nut crops. The new study called Biologicals, Specialty Crop Growers' Perceptions, Values, and Potential will be conducted in collaboration with Western Growers, the Agricultural Retailers Association, D.C. Legislative and Regulatory Services, and the Fertilizer Institute. TFI President and CEO Corey Rosenbusch says this effort provides a unique opportunity to gather insights directly from growers, enabling their members to support their input needs effectively and drive sustainable innovation deeper into agriculture. The specialty crop effort will be a comprehensive market research effort focused on understanding farmer-grower opinions on the current use, issues, and potential for biologicals, but specifically for vegetable, leafy greens, and fruit and nut production at the farm level. The 2023 study will set benchmarks around the use of biologicals by specialty crop growers and provide a roadmap to companies seeking to grow and develop the market category. The California Department of Food and Agriculture has opened up the Proactive Integrated Pest Management Grant. The objective of this research program is to develop and test IPM strategies to control one of the target pests identified by CDFA. The program could be quickly implemented once the invasive pest becomes established in California. It is a priority to first utilize and adapt existing knowledge and technology that may exist outside of California. Additionally, the focus is on targets suitable for long-term IPM control. Pests that are typically successfully eradicated, such as certain fruit flies, will not be a high priority. Proposals must identify and justify a high priority target pest from the CDFA target pest list available in the RFP. Project proposals must include details and reasoning on what IPM techniques for that pest will be investigated. Projects may include any number of IPM components, including a single aspect of an IPM system. Projects with biological control components should detail a plan to collect data necessary to obtain a release permit and describe the process for how the permit will be obtained. The focus of the research should be on long-term control of the invasive pest that minimizes disruption of urban communities and existing agricultural IPM systems. For example, it would be preferable to prioritize testing selective chemistries, biological chemistries, cultural control, and biological control over broad-spectrum insecticides. Proposals should consider availability of products not registered in California and potential remedies. The proposal must focus on management strategies for pests on the target list, which is available in the RFP. Public or private colleges and universities, local, state, and federal government entities, including the California Native American tribes and nonprofit organizations, are eligible to apply. The project leads and their institutions must be based in California, though it is encouraged to subcontract with out-of-state collaborators. The project leads and or collaborators must have access to a quarantine facility if the project involves biological control or testing products on insects that are not yet established in California. Any necessary federal and state permits must be obtained for work with any non-exempt species. Matching funding from commodity groups is encouraged. For more information, go to grants.ca.gov. The California Climate and Agriculture Network has released the first in a two-part report called A Climate Platform for California Agriculture, which serves as a call to action for moving rapidly towards a more climate-resilient agriculture system. The first installment, called State of the State, Taking Stock of a Decade of Climate Progress in California Agriculture, summarizes the progress made by the state and federal government over the past decade to support farmers and farm workers in their efforts to reduce net greenhouse gas emissions and adapt to climate change. California has led the nation in its efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in agriculture, and their policies and programs have laid the foundation for a more rapid scaling up of the powerful climate solutions that farms and ranches have to offer, according to Renata Brillinger, Executive Director of CalCAN. State of the State highlights the gains made in making resources and funding available for research, technical assistance, and incentives needed to catalyze the transformation of the farming system to greater climate resilience. Climate change is creating widespread disruptions in the food and farming system. Farmers and ranchers face unprecedented challenges with increasingly scarce water, extreme heat, flooding, and wildfire events, and unpredictable weather and pest patterns. Experienced and new farmers alike are struggling to stay in business, and farm workers are on the front lines, exposed to unhealthy air, and facing the reality of working on more dangerously hot days. Re-envisioning how they grow food must be one of the highest and most urgent priorities. Although progress has been made, the work is far from complete. The second half of A climate platform for California agriculture titled Tools for Transformation, Cultivating Climate Resilience in 2030 and Beyond, includes 50 policy recommendations to help improve agricultural climate resilience for 2030 and beyond. The recommendations are farm-focused, scientifically valid, and economically and technically feasible for producers to implement. CalCan supports approaches that deliver not only climate solutions, but also multiple on-farm environmental and public health benefits. Tools for Transformation will be released the week of October 16th.
Smart growers know sustainability means managing pests at the same time they manage other priorities in their fields, which is why smart growers know Certis Biologicals. For more than 20 years, Certis Biologicals has been the world's leader when it comes to biological pesticides, delivering proven solutions that keep operations sustainable and growing. Learn more at CertisBio.com.
Almond Board of California just released its salinity management guide for growers with acreage on saline soil or those that irrigate with saline water. Salinity poses a significant challenge to almond growers in certain areas and can greatly impact the performance of an orchard over time, costing producers in lost income. There are two types of salt stress that impact almond trees, osmotic stress and specific iron toxicity, according to the board's associate director of ag research, Sebastian Saw.
When trees struggle with salinity, they express what we call osmotic stress. This is, again, the increasing of the salts in their tissues inside, and that decreases the flow of the water and nutrient uptake by the roots. So if those saline conditions persist or worsen, the tree becomes unable to exclude salts, ions, and you will see symptoms like leaf necrosis, decrease of photosynthesis, and reduced kernel size. So at the end of the day, if salinity is a problem, you have a penalty in yield. So it's an important complication that we have for our growers.
The guide offers growers ways to look for and manage soil salinity in the orchard, and author May Columber, a UCCE farm advisor, said maintaining a balance between salinity and amendments is essential, and regular soil sampling helps decide between water or soil-applied amendments.
The first thing is to see, if you walk in an orchard, you will see symptoms of salinity at the end of the season, like the burn of the tips of the leaves or things like that. But it's always recommended to sample soil or water, so collect soil or water samplings. And there are protocols to do that. And what you will be looking there is the electric conductivity level, which is used to evaluate the potential for salt-induced stress on tree growth and decreased productivity. So we have used that value, and we had the critical values for that in the soil and the water. So we know that yields will decline if you observe an electric conductivity value above 1.5 or in the irrigation water. So in fact, I think there is like a ratio of like in some of the studies you can see that for every increase of 1 point in this value, you have about 15% decline in yield. And really, I think to manage salinity, growers need to take a holistic approach that involves some math that can be confusing sometimes, a little bit tedious. And I think that's the very goal of our new growers-friendly guidance, to walk step-by-step our growers and make it easier with practical examples of what type of amendments to do, how to implement a leaching fraction. And again, among the different agronomic toolbox that our growers have to control salinity, how to apply them at the right time and the right rate. So for instance, a commonly used tool is to implement the soil and or water amendments to control salinity. So the goal there is to provide a source of calcium to replace the sodium and therefore remove that sodium, that salinity from the root zone. But you have to calculate how much calcium to apply, and you don't want to apply too much, because if you apply too much, you can also add to the osmotic stress that limits water uptake by the tree. And of course, it costs more money. So it's important to use the soil and water analysis to define the correct type and rate of materials. But more importantly, again, is to do the math right. And this math can be a bit confusing. And as I was saying, we have developed this complete resource for almond growers a step-by-step guidance on how to control, reduce, or avoid salinity issues in their orchard. So very excited for that.
Saw elaborated on the importance of taking a holistic approach to salinity management using tools like cover crops and whole orchard recycling, basically anything that will improve the overall soil health. He said rootstock selection is also important.
It will also enhance the effectiveness of the amendments that you may apply. So we have worked not only in the salinity resource, but we also have cover crop guidance and whole orchard recycling guidance that growers can find in our website. And if the orchard hasn't been planted yet, growers may be thinking about the right rootstock. And we have decades of research about evaluating different rootstocks for saline conditions. And we just developed, in coordination with other farm advisors, also from the UC system, a rootstock trifle. And that rootstock shows you what rootstocks are more tolerant to different soil biotic or biotic conditions, being salinity one of those challenges. So there is a lot of tools, I think, today to tackle salinity. And it's very nice to put them in practice via a comprehensive overview. And it's the expertise of the consultant, the grower, or the farm advisor to put all those pieces together to, at the end of the day, maximize yield and reduce input costs.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humix Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
Apples are a fall staple, showing up in lunchboxes, pies, cobblers, crisps, and ciders. However, new data from USDA's Economic Research Service shows the majority of apples are used in juices. In 2021, 45.9 pounds of apples per person were available for domestic consumption, according to USDA's Food Availability Data product. 52% of the available apples for U.S. domestic use, 23.7 pounds per person, was in a form of juice or cider, or about 2 gallons per person. Fresh apples accounted for 34% at 15.8 pounds per person. Canned, frozen, dried, and other forms made up the remaining 14% of apple availability in 2021. Over the last 10 years, per person apple availability reached a high of 49.2 pounds per person in 2016. Much of the decrease since 2016 was because of declining availability of fresh apples. In 2016, fresh apple availability was 19.3 pounds per person. Weather records for the month of August show that the volatile summer of 2023 has showed no let-up. That includes the occurrence of billion-dollar weather and climate disasters. The NOAA National Centers for Environmental Information August 2023 U.S. Climate Report noted that 8 new billion-dollar weather and climate disasters were confirmed, including Hurricane Idalia, the Hawaii firestorm, the mid-July northeast flooding and north-central severe weather, as well as the Minnesota hailstorms on August 11th and several other storm events that occurred in July. There have been 23 confirmed weather and climate disaster events this year, each with losses exceeding $1 billion. These disasters consisted of 18 severe storm events, 2 flooding events, 1 tropical cyclone, 1 winter storm, and 1 wildfire event. For this year-to-date period, the first 8 months of 2023 rank highest for disaster count, ahead of 2020 with 16 disasters. The total cost of these events exceeds $57.6 billion, and they've resulted in 253 direct and indirect fatalities. This year had the largest number of billion-dollar disasters during a calendar year since records began in 1980. The Department of Agriculture has announced an additional $25 million investment to expand efforts to prevent and reduce food loss and waste. The investment, funded under the American Rescue Plan Act, is part of a joint agency initiative between USDA's National Institute of Food and Agriculture and USDA's Office of the Chief Economist. More than one-third of all available food goes uneaten through loss or waste. When food is tossed aside, so too are opportunities for improved food security, economic growth, and environmental prosperity. The funding will support the Community Foods Project Projects competitive grants program to reduce food loss and waste, get surplus wholesome food to individuals, and develop linkages between food producers, providers, and food recovery organizations. Since 2017, NYFA has committed $123.5 million across 527 projects relating to food loss and waste. The latest investment will expand several of NYFA's core programs by $25 million and has awarded $4.3 million in fiscal year 2023. USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack discussed the potential of climate smart markets and innovations to provide new opportunities for producers around the world. USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
World Food Day Wednesday at Global Climate Week this week has included several events and conferences. Among those, a Wednesday discussion in New York City featuring Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack on global climate mitigation and potential commodity and market opportunities.
I think there is a growing recognition on the part of agriculture and farmers globally that they need to be seizing the opportunity here.
One example offered by the secretary, reducing methane emissions from livestock and developing potential value-added products from methane capture.
I learned not too long ago that methane could potentially replace water in the development of concrete.
He adds the key to such innovation and market development through avenues such as the Global Aim for Climate Initiative is to
make it easy for farmers to know exactly what they need to do and then to provide the market incentives for doing the right thing.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
USDA's recent hurricane crop insurance policy expansion to cover tropical storms this year has already provided farmers $85.4 million to help them recover from Hurricane Idalia. USDA's Risk Management Agency rolled out the new tropical storm option for its Hurricane Insurance Protection Wind Index endorsement earlier this year after working with farmers to improve coverage. Additionally, producers have received $84.8 million in indemnities for hurricane-related losses for a total of over $170 million in crop insurance payments that will directly help farmers and rural communities recover from Hurricane Idalia. The coverage was unavailable this time last year. RMA Administrator Marcia Bunger says she commends farmers and their organizations for reaching out to RMA to discuss new coverage and their staff for promptly working on creative solutions to make this coverage a reality. Farmers do not need to file a claim to receive payment. If a county is triggered, then the approved insurance provider will issue a payment in the coming weeks.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.